Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Niamh O'Shaughnessy is with me on the line today because, Niamh, you're struggling with accommodation at the moment. Tell me your story.
So I'm living in an apartment. I have a boy and a girl. I have two children. One is 5 and Ollie is 4. Ollie has a lot of complex needs. He has level 5 cerebral palsy, epilepsy. He has feeding issues. He's peg dependent. Sensory issues, a lot going on. We're on an upper floor flat in our area, and it's been absolute torture. We're basically just surviving now. He's wheelchair dependent and will be for the rest of his life. He depends on me to move him, so he needs to be hoisted and will do so for the rest of his life. He won't ever sit up or walk. He has a lot of equipment, as in a stander, walker, his wheelchair, his therapy area, which we can't no longer use because there's no space to actually put it down. He has a hospital bed in the room, which was before his sister's room. His sister is now staying in my bed due to give the room up to Ollie for medical reasons, of course. And there's no space for storage. So his feeding bags, his syringes, his medication, his plasters, his dressings, sterile water, his beads, anything like that. It's all sitting on the side of the floor in the bedroom. Me and my daughter are sharing a wardrobe also. I've actually had to get rid of my kitchen table to make room for some of his therapy stuff. So my daughter's now therefore either sitting on the floor or on the couch eating her food and her meals every day. There was an incident where the lift was broke, which it is regularly, but this specific incident really got to me. I was after her my arm and my shoulder, and I had to take my son out of his wheelchair, leave him on top of the staircase. Now, bear in mind, this is 2 flights of stairs where he has epilepsy. So if he had a seizure, I'd be none the wiser. Thank God he didn't. But he was left on top of the floor while I had to go back down and take his wheelchair apart in 2 because it was too heavy for me to pull up the stairs, bring it up to the top of the stairs, go back down, get the other part, bring it up, leave him in my house by himself, which is not right at all, while I went back down and got my shopping. He has nowhere then to go in the stander. They had to take the stander out of the home to make more room. So his ability to even stand independently has been took away from him, which is a human right. This equipment is basically his legs and his body because he can't functionally use them himself. It's gone to a stage where I can't give and carry out the quality of life that Ollie deserves and is fatal to his condition. He can't get to play at the sink no more with his sister, engage with bacon. The realistics is he's left sitting in a chair 24/7, if not in his hospital bed. And that's not a life I want to give to my son, because he has so much determination and cognitive as of to what is going on. So this has led to a lot of anger, depression, frustration, and it's now starting to affect my whole family's quality of life.
There's an awful lot going on, Niamh, and you know, just listening to you talk about Ollie and all of his complex needs. You're living, it's a 2-bed apartment, is that right, that you're in at the moment?
It's a 2-bed apartment, yeah, and they're the old apartments. So if you bear in mind, like, the newer, like, kind of modern apartments are more open plan. Like, Ollie has gotten his new wheelchair now in 6 to 8 weeks' time. And the doors aren't even wide enough for a basic wheelchair to get through. You're basically scraping by. So therefore, like, he won't have independence to move around in this wheelchair. Yes, I'm so grateful that he's getting his independent wheelchair. And, you know, later down the line, maybe he'll learn to get himself around. But for now, he has no room to do that. Like, it's a danger.
In the place you're in at the moment, he couldn't
No, well, that's it. My couch takes up the whole sitting room. And then because I had to transfer my daughter's bedroom ties into my sitting room, and then Ollie's therapy stuff, I had to get rid of my kitchen table. Like, we don't even have a kitchen table to sit and have a meal with as a family.
How long are you in the apartment?
We're here 4 years, but we're actually on the Dublin City Council list 10 years. So I'm actually housed with a voluntary housing, which is not Dublin City Council, but I'm on the Dublin City Council list 10 years. We're 10 on years medical out. Priority 2 years. Yeah.
And have you any idea, Niamh, how long it'll take before you get somewhere?
I don't know. We have been, like, I've fought to a nail, like, the hospitals, everyone has done everything they could with information, given referrals, and it's just gone to a point where I'm actually at a breaking point, where I come home and I cry every night because I'm not able to carry out the needs for my son. I'm looking at him wanting to lie on the floor and play with his sister, but I physically can't let him do that. I physically can't just let him sit in the garden and have a bit of fresh air. He's left looking out at the window and then getting angry because he's aware that he's not getting fresh air. I'm bed batting him because I can't manage to bat him by myself into the bath. We have a portable hoist, which is only works for the bedroom, so I can get him from the wheelchair into the bed. But even at that, I'm tripping over the hoist, like we're squeezing for room. And the only reason we literally made it by the skin of our teeth to get all this is because my back was being done in. I couldn't manage the weight of him. Like, he's getting older, he's getting heavier. His needs of therapy, like, just, he needs to be getting physiotherapy regularly. And as you know, the system is a little bit down. Like, they can't offer regular therapy all the time. So that's my responsibility, to give Ollie a safe place where he can have sensory input, where he can have therapy, where I can work on his muscles. The level of Ollie's CP, he has very high dystonia. So he'll go into spasm episodes. These spasms could last for a half hour where he's screaming, crying. And I have to sit and look at my child uncomfortable because I have no place to put him. I stretch him out. I give him sensory lights to calm him down. And then my daughter's getting worried because she's none the wiser. So it's come to a stage where the environment is very, very, it's getting to a level of where enough is just enough and we're surviving. We're not even living anymore. He doesn't enjoy coming back. Like, when he sees the apartment, he's physically, like, grunting and getting angry as if to say he's not happy here. And I've no choice but to do this. When the list is broken regularly, I can't get out, even if I need to go to appointment.
How regularly, Niamh? Like, you've mentioned the lift a few times. How regularly is it out of order?
Because it's a huge problem. So you could say at least once to twice a week. And a lot of it is to do with younger lads in the car park messing about, as you can imagine. You know, kids are going to kids,
sorts of things,
they
yeah.
don't see the extent of what it impacts on my actual life. Like, I've had to miss an appointment 6 months ago because I genuinely couldn't get down the stairs. I can bring his wheelchair up because I can drag it up, but I can't bring it down. And it's a safety hazard. Like, it's not even safe to be carrying Ollie up a flight of stairs like that. Like, if I tripped, if I let him fall, the safety factors of it is horrendous.
And you're on the council, this is the Dublin City Council, I take it.
It is the
waiting
Dublin
list.
City Council,
You're on it 10 years. You've been highlighted or flagged as a medical priority for the past two years.
The last 2 years.
So have you heard anything, Niamh, like at all in the meantime from anyone in the council?
They're not actually given written responses. When we're ringing, it's like, oh, your case will be appealed. Or so a social worker got onto them and they actually stated that I'm still not entitled to this 3-bedroom house yet that hasn't been upgraded on the system. So I'm still down on the entitlement for a 2-bed, which is horrendous. Horrendous, because if you've seen the size of this hospital bed and the hoist and the equipment in one room, how they're expecting me to put
all of the equipment would nearly take a room itself, Niamh. Hospital beds are big and...
So they said that they'll give us the decision of that by the end of the month if I'm entitled to a 3-bed, which has been stated by professionals in referrals, in letters, everything that I'm entitled to a minimum of a three bedroom with Ollie's condition, because Ollie's condition is never going to go. It's going to, like, his brain damage won't progress, but his needs is going to progress. Like, what he'll need will,
as
you know,
said, as he gets
equipment.
Older and taller and, yeah. And bigger, it'll, you know, you'll absolutely need space for all that
and
goes
already
with that.
When you have him in the hoist, like, he's swinging from side to side, like, he's already banked his head off the bed. My daughter has split her head open over the stander, and that's one reason why we had to remove the stander, because everything is health
and the stander, I take it, is sort of something similar to like a frame nearly, Niamh, is it?
So it's basically he's strapped from the ankles up to the chest, and it lets him independently stand and do activities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big
And that was took away from him. So that was a huge, like, that's basically taking a child's legs and independence away from them, because that's what this equipment is for my son. It's his independence, and because he physically can't do it himself.
And previously, we'll say the last, you know, conversations or communications that you've had, either from the housing body that you're with at the moment or the council, like, have you any idea at all how long this could go on?
The housing I'm with now actually offered to buy a house off the market, and Dublin City Council refused it. They wanted to buy a house off the market for to suit their needs, and Dublin City Council refused it. Like, my housing that I'm with now actually have their hands tied because I'm on medical priority. But they had stated that, but she's one of their tenants now, why, like, can't they? And they're just giving, because I'm on medical priority, that there's other people ahead of me, that the case needs to be appealed. I've asked for a social worker out of Dublin City Council, and I was told my case isn't severe enough to be granted a social worker from Dublin City Council.
It's not severe enough.
Yes, I asked, and that's why I said, what will it take for my kids to basically have a mother in crisis? But this is what it's gone to now. It's a housing crisis now. It's an absolute housing crisis now, and they're ignoring it. I have asked and pleaded with them, come out and view my situation and the environment I'm living in, please. And they said, we don't do such things like that. And I was like, I said, you're basically looking at me as if I'm a young mother, a young single mother pleading for a house. I said, this is a genuine case going on here. I said, and it's gone to a point of a crisis where I've genuinely no room for anything, but I'm made to live like this because you don't want to listen.
Your wit's end, Niamh. I can hear it in you, from talking to you today.
I'm broken, and I know it's
not easy for you to come on and share your story like this with the country.
For a long time, I've wanted to do it, but I always gave them the benefit of the doubt of hearing me out and seeing it. And God, I know, like, people deserve to be housed, but I've seen people be housed for less. And people say to me, go up to the corporation and sit there every day. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to do that. My son's peg fed. I need to make his feeds up. I need to do his meds four times a day, because if I don't give my son meds, that's vital to his life, these men keep him at bay.
I know that's why you're with us today, Niamh, because it just a sure look of last resort, and that's why you're here to tell your story. I mean, I don't know, you know, if we can do anything, or maybe some of the listeners might be able to help us out in some way, if they have advice or if they've found themselves in this position before. We've certainly reached out now to the City Council, to Dublin City Council, Niamh, to see if we can even just from your perspective get a kind of a timeline or an idea as to when, you know, you might reach the top of this list as a medical priority. But keep in touch with us, Niamh, and
I will,
and let
course,
me know if you hear anything back, you know. Keep in touch with us. Not at all. And mind yourself,
Niamh,
because it's not easy for you.
It's not easy, but you need to keep the faith.
No, yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you for joining us in the programme. Niamh O'Shaughnessy, that's a pretty incredible story. Maybe if some of our listeners have been in a similar position to Niamh previously, like if you've found a way to maybe to talk to somebody through the local authority or maybe through some of the housing bodies, look, if people have advice, let us know. We can pass that on to Niamh. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com is the email address. And if we hear anything back, as I said, from the county or from the city council, we'll certainly bring that to you as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.